Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Back to Henry. Jackson throws, got a man wide open. It's Andrews. He dropped the ball, and it's recovered by Bernard. The third turnover committed by the Ravens.
And like I've been saying all season, every time we're in situations like this, turnovers play a factor. Penalties play a factor. Today, well, tonight, the turnovers can't have that, you know? And that's why we lost the game, because as you can see, moving the ball wonderfully is hold on to the ball. I'm sorry for my language, but it's annoying. I'm tired of
Mark, there's nobody that has more heart and cares more and fights more than Mark. Who's, we wouldn't be here without Mark Andrews. You know, that's what you say to him. So, you know, it's like anything else. I mean, destiny is a decision that you make, and it's a decision is how you handle, you know, what comes in your life. You know, and Mark will handle it fantastic, like he always does, because he's a high character person. He's a tough person, and he's a good person. So. Proud of him, just like I'm proud of all the guys.
So you heard the low light, Mark Andrews, who, and we're going to get into this here, but you heard the fumble in the second half as the Ravens were driving for a potential score. Then you heard Lamar Jackson talking about turnovers, and he was responsible for 2 of them in the first half. And then you heard John Harbaugh sticking up for his tight end, but and full disclosure, we were talking about this a bit in the group chat. Mark Andrews, in a game where you want your stars to come up big, he came up incredibly small today. And it's not just the fumble, and it's not just the drop 2-point conversion at the end, which would have tied the game, but it's a 10-point swing in the first half where he drops a ball at the 20-yard line and would have made it 2nd and 2. And the very next play on 2nd and 10, bad snap leads to a fumble. Von Miller goes 40 yards the other way, and they eventually get a touchdown. So Mark Andrews, to me, sort of embodies what we saw last night. And Jason, we told people last week, if the Ravens are going to lose this game, they're going to beat themselves, and yep, they sure as hell did.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately for Mark Andrews, you find me a signature playoff moment that doesn't involve him coming up short. You can't. Individually, you
he still
can't.
Hasn't scored in playoffs.
No. It's a shame. He is someone who fought really hard to come back from injury last year, and he never quite got back. And then to spend this offseason thinking about it, and then to have that accident, the car crash early in camp, and then to have a slow start to the season and become a you know, one of their most influential offensive players down the stretch. But the bottom line is, he's been here a long time, and he's been a part of a lot of playoff failures. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be very interesting offseason for them. They don't have that many huge decisions to make on offense. But the whole Andrews and Likely both being a thing never happened. And I don't know that it ever will. And Likely has way more upside. And you've got a chance to buy low on Likely. And I don't see this team paying two tight ends. They don't like to pay two tackles. They don't like to pay two linebackers. They don't like to pay two pass rushers. It's always either been either or with them. And so we'll have to see where that goes. He's one of the most popular Ravens of all time. He's a heart and soul guy. But he was a losing football player last night across the board. He got pushed around in the run game. I applaud him for, look, that we talked about the tush push. They've come a long way with that.
Yeah, it's unstoppable.
He helped them there. But the first drop, you know, it's 7-7. You've got a chance to swing momentum back your way. He's wide open. He gets inside position on the defensive player. Ball hits him right in the hands. He dropped it. It would have been 2nd and 2 from the 20. Your entire playbook's open. You're in the red zone. Mm-hmm. You have a chance to continue to manifest your will on that defense. Next play, your center who you took in the first round, awful rich for a center, can't snap the ball. We've seen that before in weather games. And next thing you know, the whole game has changed.
Well, and Lamar can't compound on that mistake either.
But give him the ball. How about we snap the ball? How about we master the most rudimentary, elementary things in Pop Warner football? You cannot be a successful offense if your center can't snap the ball. 4 plays before that, he got his ass kicked, got pushed back into the quarterback, tripped him up for a 5-yard loss. They overcame that, but he was getting his ass kicked by Oliver and Phillips.
In the first half,
he's not going to get any bigger or stronger. He's not getting taller. So that's going to, I'm sorry, that's a problem. He's a big part of the reason they couldn't run the ball in the first half. He's a big part of the reason the game turned. That's a first-round pick. Andrew's first-round pick. Lamar,
Andrew's not a first-round pick.
Sorry, second round. Yeah. Right. Third round. Lamar, first-round pick. Not a good first half. He can't compound those problems. You're absolutely right. Todd Monken, we'll get into it. I as much as you look at 400-plus total yards despite the turnovers and 7.3 yards per play, second highest in Ravens playoff history, Todd Monken bleeped a lot of stuff up.
Yeah.
They had a lot of guys come up small. But for me, this is the Mark Andrews hat trick game. And people say, well, you know, Lee Evans and Cundiff. To me, this is 20 times worse. Because the dude hasn't showed up big in a playoff game yet. He is one of your signature players. He has been one of your best regular season performers. And frankly, more is expected of him than a Lee Evans or a Cundiff.
I can't put him on the same level as Lee Evans either, because he had the Super Bowl in his hands. Like, if Mark Andrews catches that ball, at best, they got a shot at overtime and to get to the AFC Championship game. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I think there's more disappointment because the caliber of player of Mark Andrews compared to a Lee Evans, Billy Cundiff
He did it throughout the entire game.
Exponentially mm-hmm. higher. But
he was horse bleep 4 straight quarters when they needed him most.
No, I don't disagree. Yeah. As I said, we talked about this in the group chat. Not enough people are talking about that drop at the 20-yard line in the first. Like, they put together a great drive. They got the ball at the 30-yard line, and Lamar's going to hit him for at least an 8-yard gain, and they're going to at least get 3 points out of that drive. Because, by the way, Justin Tucker looked great last night. Like, he drilled a 51-yard field goal. So they're going to at least get 3 points, and then the very next play after the drop, you see what happens.
It's just, you know, it's kind of the same old story. You can switch out some of the names. Some of the names are the same. The outcome, certainly the same. The defense gets hung out to dry. That's been a problem. And the defense wasn't perfect. And there's things about that defense that are going to have to improve significantly next year if they're going to get back here. But they were put in untenable situations repeatedly by the offense's mistakes.
It's ultimately the turnovers. If you're just
look at the weekend, the teams that won didn't turn the ball over.
Exactly. If you're just looking at the box score and you don't watch a second of that game, you see, wow, the Ravens really outgained the Bills. They were better on third down. They outrushed them. They did all of these things well. But when you are -3 on the road against the number 2 seed with a MVP caliber quarterback leading them, it's too much to overcome. And that's the 6 postseason losses. Ravens have turned the ball over 15 times compared to just getting 2 takeaways.
But before we get ready to set up the show and everything, how about a shout out to our buddy Aloysius, who made it on the scoreboard?
We thought he might. We talked on a lot about it Thursday and Friday. I had a feeling he was going to be part of the pregame hoopla up there at, I don't even know what they call that stadium.
Highmark?
Is it still?
I think it's Highmark. Highmark.
Highmark,
because they kept showing it coming back from break.
It's the house that Aloysius built.
Yes, it is now.
And then Sean McDermott after the game, this is not a city of losers. I mean, it is unbelievable what this turned into.
Bone, did they miss? Is it true they misidentified him as saying he still worked here, correct?
They did. And he's on the Jumbotron. Yeah. Said 105.7 The Fan.
Communications are slow up in Buffalo.
Well, I guess when he first made the comment,
he was here. Yeah, yeah.
The doubling down on it, though.
No, that's new. That's new. Hey, we have a huge, unfortunate end of the show, or end of the season Monday for the Baltimore Ravens. Guest-wise, it's our usual Ravens Monday guest. We'll talk to our buddy Jonah Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner. He was there. He's back there doing locker room cleanout today. Life comes at you fast when you lose. He joins us at 4 o'clock, and then our own Cordell Woodland also there. He'll join us at 5.
Yeah, we will break the game down. Offense, defense, special teams. We will start a little bit to look towards the future and just how this last sour taste of the 2024 season might color some of what they're thinking going into the offseason. That's something we'll explore much more through the week. And then Tony Tater's in Toronto. So yeah, there's that, too.
Interesting deal signed earlier today. We will hear from the people at the bottom of the 2 o'clock hour, at the bottom of the 4 o'clock hour. So we do want to hear from you and your thoughts on this game. But coming up next.
Oh, yeah, we've got a pull up at IA1057, The Fan. You got it there, bro?
It's brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Tomorrow, Wing Tuesday, buy one, get one half off traditional wings. If you can't stop in, order Buffalo Wild Wings Go and pick it up on your way home or for your next event. Another Ravens season ends sooner than it probably should have, with their own errors and mistakes lately to blame. How will you most remember this one, Ravens flock? Who is primarily to blame? Close to 1,000 votes in already. Mark Andrews, 62.1%. Harbs and the coaches, 18.6%. Lamar, 17.6%. Offensive line, Derrick Henry, 1.7%.
You know what disappointed me about this poll, Jason? You didn't put Sashi in there.
I thought about it. The thought absolutely crossed my mind, but I'm like, not enough people will get it.
Yeah.
And it'll just
be
confusing.
It made me laugh.
In the first iteration, he was in the four hole.
Oh, that would have been great. Hey, coming up next, Lamar Jackson of it all. What did we think of him last night, and how do we look at his playoff career? Another postseason comes up short of the Super Bowl. That's next here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Man, I just got to get over this, you know. Because we right there. I'm tired of being right there. We need to punch it in. We need to punch in that ticket. But, bro, we gotta get right off season, man. Get right off season.
Lamar Jackson incredibly frustrated talking after the game about getting over the hump. And Lamar Jackson threw a pick early, said it was his fault. He didn't look off the safety. I did see Warren Sharp had a film study, and so did someone else. It looked like Bateman ran the wrong route. Now, he still should have looked off the safety, but alas, looked like Bateman ran the wrong route.
Also didn't love Derrick Henry in pass protection.
Yeah, no.
He showed up small, too.
Yeah, and you had the fumble, which obviously he's got to hold on to the football. Frankly, guys, I thought he was brilliant in the second half.
Yep.
And he that final drive, remember, Bateman gets hurt early. So he's got no Flowers. He's got no Bateman. Obviously, we know Mark Andrews has been a complete. He did catch one pass during the drive, but he led them down the field, hitting Tylan Wallace for 26 yards, and then eventually extending the play and hitting Likely in the end zone with the opportunity to tie that game. I thought second half. Oh, one other thing: the 2-point conversions. The first one, he's got to loft that ball a little bit more. Likely's wide open. Milano gets a hand on it, and then obviously he hits Andrews in the belly and he drops the ball. But they're so close, two wide open tight ends, and no points on both those.
It's like. Everything's so always complicated with these guys.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? When it comes to sort of sussing out the playoffs and why they continue to not get where a lot of us thought they were going to go, where they thought they were going to go, it's never really black and white, right? It's always shades of gray. I can't give Lamar more than a C- in the first half.
Nah, that's fair.
I give him an A+ in the second half.
Yeah, agreed. Look at the drives.
And then there's this other element of it, which is, what the hell is Todd Monken doing? Why are his legs not an element of this game plan whatsoever?
Zero designed runs. Zero.
Like, if they're going to sell out and get big and run blitz on early downs, then there's two things you could do. You lean into Justice and Lamar at the mesh point, running straight up option football, which they refused to do, although we did get some effective outside pistol runs from Justice Hill against that stuff. Or you get heavy and say, guess what? Your 220-pound linebackers don't scare me. I'm bringing in two more 300-pounders. He didn't either. So I think he had Lamar playing with one hand tied behind his back. Saying all that, the early interception... We've seen it before.
Yeah.
I mean, in his playoff career, he's got more first half interceptions than touchdowns, right? I guess now it's tied.
Yeah.
And the fumble, you can't compound a mistake by sort of doubling down on it.
Yes.
And letting it make you as hyper and frenetic as it did.
On a cold day with the ball slipping.
If you just go down, you still got a chance to pick up 15 yards and maybe get in range for Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make light of those mistakes. Those are cataclysmic mistakes. And you know who doesn't make those mistakes in the postseason? Patrick Mahomes.
No, he does not.
And Josh Allen doesn't really make them anymore. And a problem with the AFC is they're basically the same age as you. They're not going anywhere. You're going to have to be better than them. Maybe back-to-back weeks better than both of them to ever get where you want to go. And Josh Allen, man, all they asked him to do was be a hammerhead ball carrier. They asked him to run out of empty and find holes and move the ball in the red zone with your legs and your 237-pound body. And they asked him to manage the game. They called a simplistic, rudimentary game plan. I thought Joe Brady coached scared.
The second
but
half,
they didn't
sure.
make any mistakes, so no. They still won the game.
I think what's also disappointing about that first half especially is the Bills were blitzing the hell out of Lamar Jackson. That was the fifth highest blitz rate in a game under Sean McDermott, their highest since week 15 in 2021. And you look at the early part, Lamar under pressure completed just two of his first seven passes under pressure with an interception and two sacks. Now he went 3-for-3 in the final attempt for 67 yards and a touchdown. But Lamar had been making... teams that send the house at him pay all year long, not so much.
But how does no one in the booth not say, all right, wow. Yeah. They're blitzing on early downs, and they're playing. It's not zone blitzes. They're playing man. What happens when people play man? Their back is to Lamar. Why the hell aren't we calling design runs for Lamar outside the tackles?
Where are those plays we saw last week where mesh point where he keeps? Like, we didn't see that. And even I think Romo brought up early. He's like, look at this. If Lamar keeps it, he's still running. I'm sure somebody upstairs noticed that and we're going to see it. We never saw it.
Well, some of it is old, but I mean, if you do that enough and Lamar's not keeping it, that's on him.
Yes.
But they never embraced the possibility that Lamar could run for 100 plus yards if we just unlock this and lean into it. Like, you're going to sell out like that to stop the run. We're going to run outside the tackle box to see if you can catch our quarterback. Like, I don't know, man. It's just so tough to sort of, again, like, do the calculus on. Because if Mark Andrews catches that ball, that drive is up there with Flacco in Denver. Like, it would have been one of the more historic drives in franchise history.
If they don't win the game, it's not up there with
what happened. If they lose in overtime because they can't stop Josh Allen, mm-hmm. I think people are still saying, look what Lamar did.
Yeah.
What did they have? One timeout?
Yes. One timeout.
With limited personnel on an Arctic evening in Western New York. I just think I think it could have been.
Oh, it's epic.
Well, it's one of those.
And I got news for you. If they win the coin toss in overtime, they're winning that football game. That Bills defense was, the levee was breaking.
It was gassed. They were starting to do whatever
they
wanted.
And remember, Derrick Henry is completely refit. He hasn't even played in probably 20, 22 minutes of real time between when the defense is on the field and then the situations where you're chasing the game with Justice Hill. I mean, come on.
You talk about the play calling, Jason. How about the fact they rushed for 176 yards and 6 yards a carry, and we're legitimately saying, where was the running game? Like, they should have been able to do so much more last night.
James Cook had more carries than Derrick Henry.
Yes.
And you could talk about they were down 11. I mean, 11 isn't 17.
No.
I mean, and I'm the guy who's usually, like, throw on early downs, but, like, in this one, how they only used six offensive linemen two times in the game, and once was a goal line situation, so it doesn't even count. I mean, once was the Derrick Henry run on the Buffalo 3. They did it one time outside of that, and it's the one that Henry broke for 17 that if he was his normal Derrick Henry self, I think he takes it to the house.
And then the lack of rush attempts for Lamar that we already hit on, though, guys. I mean, he had six carries in that football game. That was his least amount in quite a few weeks. He had 11 in the first half against the Steelers. He only had one after halftime.
But I mean, they weren't designed.
Designed, no, yeah.
It was five Mississippi, six Mississippi. All right, I'm going to take off and run.
Coming up next here on the program, by the way, at bottom of the hour, we want to hear from the people, 410-583-1057. But coming up next, Ravens lose a tough one, 27-25. Our six-pack of defensive observations next here on The Fan. Ravens lose 27-25. It's time for our six-pack of defensive observations. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
The order on the back half are weird, but I'll keep this at six. Roquan Smith, where the hell were you? Did he make an impact play in this game last night? I know.
How many did he make this season?
Not a lot. First team all pro, and you look at the stat sheet, okay, at three solo tackles, eight total tackles. There was another guy who will come up later who does not make nearly as much money or get much attention, who I thought had a much better game, but I have that at six.
My six is... I'm interested to see if any of this usage is a sort of forecast for what's to come. Robinson played twice as many snaps as Owe. Brandon Stevens spent 18 snaps on the sidelines. Trenton Simpson played zero snaps on defense. Ajabo barely played.
Got a penalty, though.
Yeah. Pierce only played 15 snaps. I know you're in the moment, you're trying to do what you have to do to win in that game, but when it all, they tell you what they really think when everything's on the line. And I think we already knew that to pencil Simpson in for anything next year is probably a big ask, but
And I know Robinson's got a little different body type than Elway, and it became clear that the Bills wanted to run the ball a lot. But I don't know that they knew that starting the game, and he started the game over Elway. Like, I don't know if that's a changing of the guard or that's them just wanting to keep Van Noy on a pitch count so that, you know, all three are going to get, or the other two are going to get a little more work than normal. But I found it very interesting. It was clear they were trying to hide Stevens a little bit more with a little bit more Tre'Davious White. That didn't really work out. But some of the usage to me, I found intriguing.
Number five.
We talked a lot last week about the Steelers game and third downs against the Steelers and third and longs against the Steelers and how their approach seemed to be off and they were getting killed. And look, I still think Zach Orr is going to have to get a lot more aggressive and ramp up the degree of difficulty for this defense schematically next year. But I got to give him credit. The third and eight blitz with Wiggins was huge on the first drive of the second half where they absolutely needed a spot. And he brought heat, only five. He only brought more than five once in the whole game. We'll get to that. But the fourth quarter, third and eight, gets the stop again with a blitz, forces the field goal, doesn't, you know, where when they couldn't give up any more points. I do think they learned some lessons from the Pittsburgh game. Josh Allen was 4 of 7 for 21 yards against the blitz. No play longer than 8 yards against the blitz. I thought they did a pretty good job deploying some things we hadn't seen before.
My five, and obviously, and you mentioned it, the Josh Allen didn't throw for a lot of yards, but I thought that, remember, since week 11, moving Hamilton back with Ardarius Washington changed things, and I thought those two guys, especially Hamilton, all over the place, I thought these two guys, I wanted to give some credit, I thought those two guys played pretty damn well in last night's football game.
Number four.
The defense did not force a single turnover, not only last night, but in either game in the postseason, and it's tough, as we saw in the playoffs this weekend. None of the teams that, or all four teams that won did not have a turnover. Like, you turn the ball over, you lose. This defense was not able to force a single turnover in the postseason.
I'll get to it. My four is, after being sort of bulldozed by Josh Allen in the red zone, getting them off the field without a touchdown and allowing Lamar to even have the potential to do what he did at a point where guys were tired and it was frigid. I thought it showed a lot of guts, a lot of chutzpah. And Ardarius, your guy, was a part of that. And a lot of guys played big on that drive to stop them from getting pushed around, which happened a lot in the first half. And I'll get to that in the top half of this six-pack.
Yeah, I'm with Ken early. Roquan was a no-show last night. I mean, there wasn't any impact plays from him. And the lack of turnovers, that's not just a this game, this year in the postseason thing. Despite the Ravens, we gave out all the numbers of how they don't give up many passing yards. They don't give up many yards in general in postseason games. They have forced three turnovers in games that Lamar Jackson has started in the postseason. That's not good enough.
Six-pack of defensive observations. And Beltway Ben, let's continue.
Number three.
As much as this isn't on the defense, Roquan and the D tackles got pushed around in the first half in a way we haven't seen all year. Again, I'm surprised by the limited usage of Pierce. I saw multiple times where Matabike looked completely lost 3-4 yards off the line of scrimmage, not being able to find the ball carrier. And it wasn't like Buffalo was going tackle eligible all the time either. But I did not like what I saw out of the interior of the Ravens D-line or offensive line, for that matter, in the first half. They got some things figured out in the second half, but not good enough by Matabike, not good enough by Travis Jones, not good enough by either Hamilton or Board, and definitely not good enough from Roquan Smith.
My three is Tavius Robinson. You could make an argument that he made more impactful plays than anybody else on the defense last night. He had two tackles for loss. Tavius Robinson, when some others came up small, he was big last night.
Number two.
Number two is the third and five from the 30 with a minute 15 left in the first half. The pass interference call on Tre'Davious White, which was absolutely atrocious. At worst, it's a no call. At best, it should have been offensive pass interference. And I bring this up because if it's a no call, they try a long field goal. Maybe he makes it. He made a 51-yard field goal in the second half, so maybe he does make it. But there's still a minute 15 left on the clock. The Ravens would have a chance to go down and get their own field goal. But that flag basically gave the Bills 4 points and made it 7 instead of 3, and also took all the time off the rest of the first half. An atrocious call and a game-changing call.
Was a brutal call. My number two is this defense found a way to reestablish a semblance of cohesion, but this was 101 level stuff. Next year, it better be a master's level defense. It better be a more aggressive defense. It better be a defense with more bite, and it better be a defense where more playmakers besides Marlon step up and make plays. No turnovers is a joke. Here's their negative plays in the game. A 1 yard sack, Allen taken down on a run for 1 yard, Cook for 4 yards, Ty Johnson 1 yard loss. That's it. That's the negative plays. We saw one fumble the other way where Von Miller flips 50 yards of field position. These guys have 8 yards in negative plays the entire game. Since they made their changes week 11, which we applauded, they have in eight total games, including the playoffs, they brought more than 5 pass rushers 10 total times. Sorry, man. You gotta, like, I'm not saying to be Wink Martindale, but you gotta have some balls too. Like, you gotta be willing to go for a kill shot occasionally. And this defense wasn't aggressive enough. It was pretty milquetoast. It was about keeping everything in front of you, and they did that pretty well. But
some point, even you gotta force the issue.
Who's the playmaker? Who was a playmaker in that game?
No, there wasn't one.
One is, you can't, I mean, look, as much as I'm banging on the defense here, and as much as Joe Brady coached like a little baby, you hold Josh Allen to 147 total yards and 4.6 yards per play as an offense, and Josh Allen was not involved. He was involved in one play in that game that was longer than 12 yards with his arms or his legs, and that was Stevens getting beat by Shakir. Shocker. You got, like, they should have won the game.
Yeah.
The defense, despite some things that need to get better next year, individually and collectively, and maybe they need some new coaches too, how do you go on the road, give up 147 total yards to Josh Allen, only 5 third down conversions, and you lose the game?
This was almost sort of like deja vu from last year's AFC Championship game, where they got beat up a little bit early. And in the first half, they got pushed around on defense. But the second half, even at the end, when the Bills tried for the kill shot and they went with the unstoppable Josh Allen play, they stopped the unstoppable Josh Allen play. They gave up 6 points in the second half. Like, they did their job. Unfortunately, the offense didn't do theirs.
That's a big W for the Ginger Gorilla.
Yeah, I think Tavius deserves his own slot. We didn't anticipate him playing so much more than Adafe Owe, playing 70% of the snaps, had a couple of those tackles for loss in the first half. And Ravens didn't lose the game because of that pass interference call, but
that's really, a huge call.
Really altered the game.
Yeah, I hate blaming penalties for losing games, but man, oh man, that was a bad call and a huge call. Hey, coming up next, we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Your thoughts on what you saw. By the way, open locker room as a cleanup was today. According to the media there, Mark Andrews did not speak, was not seen at open locker room, was not seen last night after the game. Just a little something for you to sort of simmer on. But the people speak on this game next here on The Fan. Time to hear from the people. Ravens lose 27-25. It's going to hurt for a while. I know. We've been there before. Unfortunately, this team with Lamar Jackson quarterback can't get over the hump. But let's hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Let's get started with Chris and Arnold. Chris, you're on The Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I know that the pass interference wasn't the make or break play of the game, but do you think in the offseason the NFL competitive committee looks into making those types of plays reviewable?
No, they did it once, and it was a disaster. It's never going to happen. It's unfortunate, and I agree. I was in my six-pack last segment. It was an atrocious call, and it cost the Ravens 4 points, or gained the Bills 4 points. But they're not going to do anything about it.
And then I have one more thing. Mm-hmm. With Likely being so good and younger, do you think they look into trading Mark Andrews to free up some cap space to fill some holes in the roster?
Jason?
I absolutely positively would. I'm not sure that they will. I think there's a degree of sentimentality there that may preclude them from doing it, and they might say, hey, we've got him for one more year.
I would absolutely do it. I've seen enough. Like, Likely can do what he does. You still buy relatively low on Likely, and I think you can draft somebody to be that second tight end. Kohler's an interesting player. You're going to have to spend money on other positions. They need pass. You're going to need another pass rusher. I would trade him.
And the contract ramifications, if they moved on from him, he's in the final year of his deal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's $7 million base salary, $4 million roster bonus that's due in March, right around
you could trade
agency.
Him at the combine. The deal's consummated on the first day of the league year. You have 5 days to before 5 days into the league year before that $4 million roster bonus hits. I would be look. He had a lot of touchdowns down the stretch. Yes. Somebody, you're not like you're selling totally low on him.
He led touchdown. He led tight ends in touchdown passes.
Yeah, I think it's time to change the guard.
Zero postseason touchdowns in his career. Ron's and Owings Mills.
Zero postseason comments from him to this point.
No, zero. Yeah. Ron, you're on the fan.
Dr. Wyman, Dr. Lock and Four, and Dr. Babalache. I need to be on the couch.
So do we.
Yeah, I just the fumble when Linderbaum the bad snap. Lamar just has to get down. So let's not make it worse. Just get down, live to fight another day. I know that's what makes Lamar special, but it's playoff football. Just get down. I thought Todd Monken on the goal line, first and goal at the two, that sequence, I thought Todd Monken really screwed up.
Me too.
Second and goal at the 3 yard line. Yeah, you gave Henry a touch on first and goal. Give it to him again. Yeah. He needs another touch there. There was no design runs in that sequence.
I'd have given it to him four straight times.
There's two ways to go about that to me. Get super heavy with Henry or do like the Bills did, spread him out in empty and let Lamar just run in it. Like, I mean, he didn't try either of them. He didn't put it into either of his players' best hands in the best positions to succeed in tight quarter like that.
Exactly. I mean, to me, that is the one that is going to be very costly. I know Henry gets it in from second and goal to three. Last thing, this is nitpicking, but yes, Andrews has to catch it just like Lee Evans did. But with certain players, I do believe this, Ken, and just hear me out, Dr. Lockenfor and Dr. Barbalace, you did have a timeout before the two-point conversion. Yes, he should have caught it anyway. I do believe in calming certain players like a Lee Evans or a Mark Andrews down because they do have butterfingers for hands. I do think, we would have had to done an onside kick. We had one timeout. I don't think you needed it later because Lamar is quick to score. I would have used it there to settle it because I'm a nervous wreck. No. But he has to catch that ball, Ken, and we're going to be talking about this team choking for the past five straight years. I would like to move on from the coach, but it's very frustrating. I can't blame John for the loss, though. I really can't.
Nah, you appreciate the call. Coach. My only concern with the timeout is now you let them think about it. Like, you're bossing them down the field, and you don't have – who are you bringing in? You're out of wide receivers. Your personnel is your personnel. I don't think you want to give them any more time to adjust. I don't think you want to. You're in a lather. You're moving the ball. They've got no answers. And it's not like who are you bringing in besides jumbo tackles? Yeah. Like I don't know. Like if they had a full complement of players, maybe. But they're in triage mode and they're still working.
They're getting
the Bills.
Gutted. Yeah.
I don't. Them not using a timeout. I'm not worried about that.
410-583-1057. George in Highlandtown. George, you're on the fan.
Represent.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey there.
Tough loss last night. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to end. It's just every year in the playoffs, somebody must have balled. I want to get your opinion on the freaking refs. I don't know if you saw the other games, too. Mm-hmm. All these personal conduct on professional-like sports. I mean, like conduct penalties. You saw Jared Goff get hit. You saw Daniels get hit. And you saw Lamar out of the outbound. But with the Mahomes hit, you know. I mean, what is it? Is it the refs are protecting Mahomes, the NFL? Is it NFL viewership? Every time they see Mahomes scores, they go up to the box and show what's her name?
Taylor Swift. Yeah. Well, I want to get to
it's
that.
It's a bad look. It's a bad look.
I thought Troy Aikman... And he's a former quarterback, and he's a guy who lost his career to concussions eventually. But he chastised what's going on here, and I really appreciate that. He essentially said, look, you can't allow Patrick Mahomes to slow down and sort of bait these guys and then flop and get the call every time. It's bad.
That's the thing that really aggravates me the most about it. There was that play towards the sideline where he's slowing up before going out of bounds to try and sell the contact of him getting hit. I mean, that should be a penalty.
Look, I tweeted out, if somebody did to Mahomes what they did to Lamar, Goodell would bar that guy. Yeah. He wouldn't get fined. He'd be barred from the league. They'd throw his ass out of the league. You try to do that to Mahomes. This wasn't even a flag.
410-583-1057. Let's go to Cool C. Cool C, you're on the fan.
All right, guys, real quick on the interception in the first half, Bateman broke off the route. He's going down at a corner route. He broke it off. Labar threw that ball. I thought he was going to be wide open the way he threw it.
Yeah, he ran the wrong route.
That's on Bateman. Yeah, yeah. He broke it off. And okay, so we got a three and out right there. We got the ball back in 1 minute. They threw an incompletion. I mean, we had the ball back, so that was not costly. Let's throw that out the window. Yes. The
fumble, I mean, it cost them opportunity, though. I mean, it cost them an opportunity to score, momentum, time of possession.
Wait a minute. We got the ball back within a minute and 20 seconds, so that was insignificant. The fumble, yes, huge play. But Lamar, 416 total yards, 7 for 10 on third downs, 2 touchdown passes, 124.9 QBR, takes you on an 88-yard drive with 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go. It was phenomenal. Lamar, and you can listen to Lewis Riddick. You can listen to a lot. They all say in the national media, he was the best player on the field yesterday, period.
He gave him an A-plus for the second half. He did everything he could have possibly done except throw it to himself to take that game to overtime.
12 for 15, 131 yards and a touchdown.
Without his two top receivers for part of the time, and with an offensive coordinator who chopped his legs off.
Let's go to Kevin in Baltimore. Kevin, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. I just I had a short argument with my homeboy just a minute ago. Lamar, and we was talking about the turnovers. I thought that Lamar's turnovers were kind of careless, right? I do understand that he came back, he nearly played a perfect second half. But a lot of times Lamar will go to the podium, talk about he ticked off about this and that, you know, but we only get a certain amount of possession. You know, sometimes it seems to me that Lamar gets a little confused about the game situations a lot of times. What do you think?
Jason?
I think he's come a long way in his handling of these things. I think the expression of emotion from him after this game was warranted. I think he takes the blame all the time. I think he's incredibly accountable. Does he occasionally do too much? Yeah, yes. I mean, he does, but I'd say his career plus minus is somewhere in the high plus column.
If he would have had that type of first half prior to this year in the playoffs, that would have snowballed. The Ravens never would have scored 25 points in this football game. I thought it was very admirable how he battled back in the second half, and in particular on what could have been the game-tying touchdown drive without Zay Flowers, without Rashad Bateman. I thought he showed a ton of poise
there. He battled back with Tylan Wallace. He battled back with Justice Hill. Yes. It wasn't Derrick Henry.
Anthony,
it wasn't Mark Andrews.
He had Anthony Miller on
the field. Occasionally Likely. Yeah. It was you know, Miller. Like, that's the cast.
Yeah. Hey, you guys want to ride the calls? We got people.
Sure.
Let's do it. 410-583-1057. More from the fans. How do you feel about this game and this loss? That's next here on The Fan.